We've been talking a lot about training camp. It's funny, you know, Terry McLaurin so far has not been nearly as big a story as I anticipated in the first few days. The day he didn't show up, day one, which was actually a non-practice day, I think that was Tuesday when Dan and Adam Peters spoke, that was the Terry McLaurin news day. I think the team was really smart to do it that way. Rather than having those guys speak the day of training camp, they spoke the day before, so the media came out, they handled the Terry thing. Dan Quinn effectively said, I'm not going to be talking about this all camp, but I'll give you my thoughts. They also downplayed it in that day, like, we think he's going to be here. Adam Peters has not had to speak again.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin has since held out, right? Today, Quinn was asked about Terry McLaurin, and he said, hey, I got nothing to update, but when I do, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
As if to say, like, don't ask me, which is a ridiculous expectation. Now, I know that he knows because he's a grown-up and he's been around for a long time and he's a head coach.
Yeah.
That question's going to keep coming.
100%.
You guys want to keep choosing not to pay him. He wants to keep choosing to hold out. Whoever you think's the bad guy doesn't matter. As long as your best wide receiver and arguably your best player on the team, not named Jaden Daniels, is not here, we're going to ask about it every few days. Doesn't have to be every single practice. Doesn't have to be twice a day. But every 2-3 days, it's very reasonable to say, is there a Terry McLaurin update? And what Dan Quinn's going to say is, no, I'll give it to you when I have it, which just means when he signs, you'll see him.
Yeah.
My guess is he'll keep getting asked. He'll keep not answering. And one day before preseason game number one, Terry's going to stroll in there and hold in. Because I just can't envision him still holding out when they start preseason games.
Because of money?
Yeah. People, I mean, look at the numbers. It's $811,000 to not show up for a preseason game. $800,000. $50,000 stinks. That's nothing compared to the $800,000 for one day of work that you're missing out on.
I didn't even know that. You just got me smarter by giving me that nugget. So if he holds out for all three preseason games, that's what, 1.4 mil or 1.24 mil?
No, that'd be 2.4.
2.4 mil.
8 plus 8 is 1.6 plus 8 is 2.4 mil.
I didn't carry the,
carry the 2 divided by the 3.
That's a lot of money. My thoughts on this, I don't know if I've told you specifically. Like, I think this thing gets ugly. I don't think... For them to not be offering him a deal that starts with a 3, to me, is ridiculous. There's really no explanation for it. I don't know if that's the case, but like that's kind of what the reporting has been from those who have tried to tap dance around it and fill in the blanks. But like, for them to not think that he deserves a contract that starts with a 3, like, what are we doing here?
I think I agree with that mostly.
Like,
I think it is disrespectful if you're offering him like 25.
Like, come on.
26. But... I could make the case that he's probably worth 28-ish, 28 and a half, 29.
Is that based off of the market and who else has had deals similar to him or what?
It is based on his age and the market.
Okay.
Like when we look at the market, we say the comps suggest he's worth 30 to 32 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm mostly in agreement with that.
Yeah.
But the guys that are getting that are not as old as him. So if you actually look at the numbers on the players that sign closer to his age, like Mike Evans or whatever,
right,
the numbers aren't as big. And so the team might be saying, actually, here's the market, because the most important number for you is not how many catches you had last year, not how many touchdowns you had last year, not if you're as good as DK Metcalf or not. It's that you're going to be 30 this football season. It's not like he turns 30 in December. He turns 30 before week two. Like, basically, when they have played one or two games, he's 30 years old. That doesn't mean you turn into a pumpkin immediately, and I think he's going to age okay because he doesn't have a lot of mileage on the tires.
Yeah.
But I would write in pencil what you said, which is, if you're not giving him $30 million a year based on just his track record and the fact that you have it,
right?
I take a little issue with that. Like, if you were up against it, if Jaden was already making $45 million or something, then it's a different dialogue here.
Way different.
You're not paying your quarterback. You're in an unbelievable financial situation over the next few years because you haven't signed any bad contracts, because you haven't paid anybody. And I wouldn't advocate, Linnell, that they do this for John Allen or Daron Payne or any of the other long-term players. There's one guy to me, one, in this organization, in this era, in this decade, who deserves to be overpaid a little bit for services rendered, and he'd be the guy. Now, should that be a regular, customary way to operate? No. But I think you could break a rule or two for him, knowing he comes off the books before the Jaden money kicks in anyway.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I wonder, too, like, are they trying to, like, set a precedent with him, too? Like, you got Tunsil coming up, Luvu's coming up, Doran's going to be coming up. Like, they're going to be dudes that have 1 year left on their deal that are going to be asking for extensions. Are you going to – so my thing is, if they pay Terry, does everyone else not have to play out the final year of their deal? if without new money? Is this going to be a routine thing every summer for the next couple of years? Because Tunsil's due. Lattimore's in the final year of his deal. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season.
So to that, I would say, if they come to me, one by I treat everything the same. So call me if you're Lattimore's agent.
Okay. Hey, got 1 year left on the deal. We're trying to figure out what's going on here. We want new money.
Yeah, your client was terrible last year. We'll see you at training camp. See, that was a quick, easy phone call, right?
Can I be Laramie Tunsil's agent?
Hey, you're lucky that I picked up the $18 million than I did.
Yeah.
You should have probably been a free agent because you played like you were Michael Davis.
Oh, that was rough, GP.
Well, I mean, I
hear it, though. You're being serious. Real.
He struggled immensely last year. Now, Tunsil's more interesting.
Yeah.
Make the call there.
So my client, who has been a multi-time Pro Bowler, you know, widely viewed as a top five tackle, we got 1 year left, and we're not really trying to practice unless we have new money.
I love that, and I appreciate that. He's going to be a star. We want him to be here for a long time. He's never done anything for me yet. He hasn't played one snap for me. He's never bled for me. He's never sweat for me. I can't pay him for what he did with the Texans. We got to see it in our program. We'll see you on the practice field.
All right, we'll see you week one.
See you then.
So that's my thing that I kind of fear here. Like, are they?
But Terry's different. Like, he's done it here. He's earned it here. Laramie Tunsil doesn't get to show up after doing the Cotton Eye Joe on U Street, according to ancient philosopher Linnell Willingham, and just start asking for cash, right? If he did, okay. But I also think that probably gets worked out before the trade in some way. Like, you're allowed to talk to an agent. And you go, hey, is this a guy that's holding out? Does he need to be paid? Does he need an extension? You know, what are we looking at?
Yeah.
The one that's more interesting is Luvu coming off last year.
Whoa, yeah.
Because Luvu last year proved he's got some star potential. And I don't think that subsides. Like, I think that Frankie Luvu is just scratching the surface of what he can be as a player.
I agree.
I think he's got another year like last year in him. He might even be better if you let him rush more. I actually think the numbers grow. But Frankie Luvu is not young either. In football terms.
Was he 28?
He's 28, but he's going to be 29 when Terry's 30.
So he's not getting any younger.
So in fact, he's going to be, next year when he's looking for a contract, the exact same age Terry is now.
Mm.
Now, linebackers age a little better than wide receivers.
Sure.
And so it shouldn't be as big a deal breaker. But quite literally, Terry turns 30 on like September 15th. Let me look up his birthday. Next year, when Frankie Luvu's trying to get paid, he'll turn 30 on September 19th, 4 days apart.
So it's a very similar.
It's literally the same thing. But Luvu's, he'll have been coming off two really good seasons, hopefully, at that point.
And he's the heart and soul of your defense, it feels like, right now.
He is, very much so.
Like,
he's just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to be the heart and soul, whatever team he plays for. He just wears it on his sleeve.
Would they dare play hardball with the defensive culture guy, the way they're doing it with the offensive culture guy? Like, this is...
If you can do this with Terry McLaurin, you'll do this with anybody.
So that's what I'm saying here. Like, are the other agents on the team going, you see what they're doing to Buddy and Terry? Like, are we going to be in that boat?
100%. Yeah, I don't even think it's just the team. I think it's around the league. This is my issue. We had a caller yesterday say something to the effect of, I don't want to set a bad precedent by giving Terry a bad contract. You can't set a bad precedent. And I'm going, I don't want to set a bad precedent by not taking care of my guy.
Right. That's the worst thing.
Who walked over the coals for me.
Yeah.
The Laverniuses. he just walked right over them.
Yeah.
And I'm going, thanks for walking over the coals, but go back that way. Like, that's the precedent I don't necessarily want to set.
I hear it, though.
It's going to work out. I do think much of this is, it's a big deal. It's gone sideways. It's not pretty. Like, nobody's making too much out of this.
Yeah.
But much of this is the business of the NFL and just how it goes. This is how the sausage is made. Should it be this acrimonious? No.
Yeah.
I'm shocked we're here. Like, there's two dudes not there. The guy with the Bengals who called his coach a liar a month ago, and Terry McLaurin.
It just doesn't happen.
Who popped off at Eastern Motors.
Yeah.
Like, he has chosen to pay $150,000 to show how angry he is at them already.
By the way, him and Buddy Baker choosing, I love that he did the shoot. You're from
Buddy Baker, who's his agent.
Who's his agent? You're from Indianapolis, Indiana, Terry. Go on the Pat McAfee show if you really want to reach an audience and have your blows be felt. But
maybe he prefers the people interview him wear sleeves.
Well,
then he can't go on the McAfee show.
That would be a problem. So, to get your official like stance and take on it, like, you think there's no chance that he doesn't play this year, or that he doesn't,
like, at all?
Like they don't trade him. You think that's completely off the table? Would you put a 0% chance on it?
I think there's a 5% chance he gets traded.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's a...
I'm at like 70-30.
30's high.
I know, but these are... They're not even talking. And it was crazy. Like Adam
talking. Remember, Adam Peters said they've been talking.
Yeah, come on. If they were talking and those
then
talks
again,
were...
Adam Peters said he thought he was showing up.
Well...
I don't believe that either.
Exactly. So if they were talking and those were real talks, Terry would be there. You know, if those talks were progressing...
I'll disagree with that.
Okay. You thought he would...
Well, progressing mm-hmm. is different than talking.
Right, okay.
I don't think they're progressing. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's an exchange, a back and forth. They're stating their side. He's stating his side. Maybe they're haggling over a couple of details and they've changed on a few things, but the important stuff, guaranteed money or whatever, what have you, hasn't been altered yet.
Yeah.
Do I think every day they're on the phone like for an hour? No, I don't think so. But I would bet anything in my wallet that they've talked several times since Eastern Motors. I mean, there's no doubt.
I would hope.
If not, it's malpractice. Like, that's Adam Peters' job, is to look handsome on the sideline during practice and to call Terry McLaurin's agent. Like, that's the gig. We saw this with the Joe Shane thing with Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, right. In real time. We got to see the hard knocks that'll never allow us to watch a front office again because the Giants were so terrible at running their team. And, like, they got so embarrassed that everyone's like, never, not doing
that.
Can't
have that happen to me, yeah.
But, like, yeah, he's absolutely making phone calls and working the phones.
Today was a big day for Terry McLaurin to me because anybody that was out there at practice can attest to this. Like, they need him. There were so many drops today that happened where if Terry was on the receiving end, you would make the play. He would make the play. He's the contested catch warrior. Like, they just haven't, and tell me what you've thought about the first 2 days. I'm not seeing a lot of vertical shots here. Terry is your explosive play guy on this offense.
Well, I don't even think we need practice
to know that, right?
To see that. I mean, Jay was on the show with us a couple days ago when the holdout began.
Yeah.
And he obviously helped draft McLaurin and dialed up his first touchdown on a 75-yard post, and helped develop him into the player he became. His point was, without Terry McLaurin, this receiver room is not good. It becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Noah Brown, health problems in Houston and here.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a durable guy per se, but I actually like his game as like a two.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, that's 4 for 39 with a couple of dig routes, right? Luke McCaffrey, who we've talked a lot about today, had 18 catches as a rookie is a big question. Debo is not a traditional wide receiver. You don't want to make him just a boundary wide receiver on every down. Like, that is taking the cape off Superman. Michael Gallup, what does he have left exactly? It's been a few years since he looked like the guy that was a good player in Dallas.
Yeah.
I think he's basically like fighting for a roster spot type.
I agree.
Same with Chris Moore. Same with any of the other veterans, like K.J. Osborne. Jalen Lane will be here, but being a young player in this offense, it's not that easy, ask Luke, ask Ben Sinnott, to just jump on the field and make plays. So, like, what are you hanging your hat on? If you don't have Terry McLaurin, it's Debo as a gadget guy, and then McCaffrey and Noah Brown?
So if we both know that to be true, like, what are we doing here? And I was listening to you guys.
The sausage is being made.
Yeah. And I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I think, like, you said something along the lines of, I feel like him not being there, I feel like it definitely impacts the rapport between him and Jaden. You know what I'd love to know? And Jaden would probably never tell us the truth on it. He held a passing camp, two passing camps this offseason out at, like, remote locations. I think one was in Oregon and one was in California. Does McLaurin show up to these?
I would imagine so. Yeah, because like he's talking to all the like
right, he's talking to his
Luke
boys.
Luke McCaffrey in the interview we played a couple hours ago when I caught up with him yesterday. He's been in contact with Terry. They were texting over the last couple of days.
Okay,
Jaden Daniels in a press conference this week when he spoke to the media said he had just talked to Terry. Talks to him every day as if he was still there.
Okay,
I mean Terry's in Ashburn.
Right,
I wouldn't be surprised if he's not eating ribs at somebody's house
and like, doing throwing sessions. With
him and Sandra still are watching. Fantastic Four right now at the Alamo in One Loudon.
Right.
Like, it's not like he doesn't have an issue with his teammates.
It's
the money. So yeah, he's ready to go. He just, let's get the money straightened out.
Yeah.
But that's, you said, what are they doing right now? They are playing hardball. They have drawn a line in the sand and they said, we're not budging. And neither side has. This was Jay Gruden on our show just a couple of days ago talking about the receiver room without Terry.
You know, what I look at is if you take him off this roster, this makes this receiving core very average to below average. And You're counting on Debo coming off injuries. Noah Brown's coming off an injury. Luke McCaffrey, who's, you know, they're obviously a little disappointed in him. Chris Moore, I don't even know who that is. Jalen Lane only had 36 catches at Virginia Tech. I mean, Michael Gallup coming off an injury. He's an older guy. So now you're looking at a way below average receiving core without him. So I don't know what the holdup is. I would try to get him in as soon as possible, and that would have been about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, or a month ago, whatever it might be.
What do you –
The Chris Moore, I don't even know who that is.
That was poor Chris Moore. Me. Yeah, did me too.
That's, I mean.
So at what point, I had Louis Riddick on last night, and he was like, at what point does Adam go to ownership and go like, we got to get this done? Or does someone go to ownership and go like, hey, you need to step in?